Well, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, if I could ask the deacons if they could come down real quick. Just real quick, the deacons. Angela has something special here. It's pretty cool, actually. You can kind of explain about it. She wants to donate and dedicate this to the church. And I'm sure the ladies can find out a cool place to hang it. But I want to officially give it over to the church. You want to say something about it?
Right. Our mission trip, it was Light of Life. And it's from John, but I saw this scroll work, and it's actual scroll work that's done. And I saw it there. It says handmade artwork from the Holy Land, inspired by the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it's from Jerusalem, and it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." And I don't know, as soon as I saw it, I was like, that needs to be in the church. So I'll just pass that over and wherever y'all see fit to put it. But I just wanted to give it to the church because I really appreciate y'all backing me on my trip and supporting me and in prayers and everything. I just really appreciate it. So thank you.
Amen. They appreciate you. Appreciate them. All right. Amen. Thank you. I guess I could have just had one guy come down and get it, but I thought that's kind of special, right?
Right.
All right. So let's pray, and then we're going to let Angela come and share her mission trip. And at the very end, I'll come up and say a few words at the end, and then we'll do a song of invitation. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, thank you so much, Lord, that we have folks in our church that's willing to go. Lord, willing to go just across town, next door, that's willing to go to another state, another country. And Lord, those that are willing to go to the foreign lands, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for her obedience and all the other people that went there. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll be glorified, you'll be honored. We thank you, Lord, that we do live in America, and we do lift up these soldiers that are all over the country right now and protecting our way of life. So I ask that you bless Angela, that you anoint her as she shares her story. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. All right, so just going to say something, and then we're going to cut the lights, and I'm going to become this disembodied voice. But real quick. Most of you already know, probably all of you, but I went on a mission trip to Israel. I'm wearing one of our Jubilair shirts. This would be considered alternate concert attire for our trip. You'll see ladies in the pictures in gray, or they call this berry. You could wear either one on the trip. And then our formal concert we're in black from neck to toe, all the way down, because It's not supposed to be about us at all, so we kind of take ourselves out of the picture and just let it be the music. But this trip was just an amazing opportunity. And I remember being little, and we had a foreign missionary come and speak. And it was weird because he was American Indian. And he came, and I just thought it was cool anyways because of the way he just looked different. And long hair, had his beads and stuff, but he started talking about all of his different missions, and I mean, the whole time I was like you could not tear me away from what he was saying. I was just very involved in what he was saying, and just, he could have been talking to just me, but I remember going to him afterwards, and I was like, I want to do that. So it was great to finally have the opportunity to actually be able to do that. So I'm going to stop, and I'm going to let y'all take a tour with me. I'm such a poor excuse for an Israeli guide, but y'all just bear with me. I'm going to try to take y'all on a tour of Israel. Thank you.
Okay. Can everybody hear me? Yes? Okay. First day was a travel day. I know that it's odd to include that, but I just want y'all to understand that we moved forward in time because of the time changes, so it actually took us 2 days to get there with layovers and everything. We're getting ready to leave. Oh, sorry. Got our luggage all loaded down. We went with mission suitcases as well, y'all. That is not all of our luggage, I promise you. But we went with mission suitcases. We all had different missions that we were involved with, and both my mom and I had coats, and these were kid-sized coats. We were to take the suitcases, leave them, and just come back with our own luggage. So it was just one-way trip for that luggage. Flew out from Atlanta to Frankfurt. We had a layover in Germany and then continued on to Tel Aviv. So now we're in Israel. We hit the ground running. We got to Tel Aviv. We ate dinner once we got into Tiberias. That's where we were staying. And hit the ground running the very next day. This was the view from our window. The morning I woke up, looked outside to see what my view would be. This is Tiberias from our hotel window, which I thought was awesome in itself. We actually took off. There were 5 different churches that we all performed at. We split into groups. The church that I went to, or my group went to, was the Anglican church. The Anglican church, when we got there, they were under renovation, so they actually went to the Catholic church. That sign, you can't really read it, but that's pointing to the Catholic church that was right there. Since the Anglican church was under renovations, the Catholic church let them use their facility. So we're in the Catholic church for the Anglican service, which is given in Arabic, German, and English. We were handed books in our language. And we were doing communion, so we were told to speak at certain times. And everyone is speaking in their own language because they have a book that is specific for them. Which is amazing, hearing us sing and speak at the same time in multiple languages. It was an interesting thing to experience. I've stopped it on the priest because the message he gave, which only part of it I could understand, he gave his summary in English. And the service was about the men that lowered their paralyzed friend down to Jesus. He talked about the full trust and faith that those friends had that Jesus could offer ultimate healing for their friend. And he explained further how we are called to have that same faith and trust in the Lord, that we are called to help and pray for each other with full faith and trust, but that we must also be willing to accept help from others. It was just a very powerful message. I feel blessed to have been able to hear it and was very glad that I could understand part of it. That's the group of ladies that was in my group that went and sang for this congregation. I've included some landscape shots because we're touring, so y'all are really there. Okay, this is not my plate. I want to make that very clear. But we went to St. Peter's Fish for lunch, which is over by the Sea of Galilee. They did offer options, which was great. But I just wanted y'all to be able to see a little bit of what the dishes looked like. That night, we prepared to go and do our evening concert. Our day was just full of concerts that first day. We had from the morning service to the concert to lunch, and then we had to go change and then prepare for rehearsal and the evening concert. This church was huge. If you look at that light blue white square in the back, that is the sky. We are up, the door is elevated, steps go down, and the city is actually underneath. Like it's below sea level there, and we were on the side of a hill. It was an amazing view. The altar, this was something new for me. It was a sacred altar. It had already been blessed before we got there, so we could not touch it. They didn't have it roped off, but it was very important that we not touch the altar due to their beliefs and things like that. So we were sure to follow those instructions. That's the city. After the concert, when I went out, just the lights of, that's actually the city of Nazareth. And that's how high up you can see that door. You can't really see the fact that we're on a hill. But it was an amazing experience to be able to sing. We had a good group that came to that concert. Day four, we went to Caesarea, Nazareth Village, and Mount Precipice. So we started in Caesarea. We got to see the theater. Y'all, everywhere we went, we sang. Even if it wasn't scheduled, that was what we were there to do. That was our main mission, was to share the gospel through music. So that's what we did. We sang in this theater where other groups were visiting of multiple faiths. We then visited the ruins of King Herod's palace and got to walk along the shore of the Mediterranean Sea. We were split into groups. So while we were doing that, there was another group at the Nazareth Baptist School. They went and sang there with the kids and then went on to do a two-day music camp. I saw some videos and those kids, I don't know who had more fun, the kids or the adults that were doing the music camp. We didn't get to elect our mission. They were given to us. Mine was prayer walking, which is in itself very important as prayer is extremely powerful. These are just more pictures from the Mediterranean seashore. We went to the Nazareth Village. Now, this is a village where people are actually dressed in period dress for the time of Jesus. So we ate in, of course, an unair-conditioned facility, which was common over there. But doors are open. Y'all, the cats are everywhere. That was one thing that I really kind of took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting all the cats. People are in period dress, and they're explaining the food that we're about to eat. The olives, the unleavened bread, they brought chicken. I didn't take a picture of everything. But they're making the tortillas there. Everything was made there. The olive trees that they got the olives from are actually right outside this building. Everybody had their own olives. Everyone seasoned them differently, so every olive tastes different. It was very interesting walking around this village. It was truly like going back in time. Other than the buildings in the background, which you can still see. I don't know if y'all can see the little kid that's sitting down. I mean, they had people of all ages. And a lot of these people are missionaries. The guy that was speaking to us in the restaurant, he was from America. So a lot of these are missionaries that have come over there because they believe in this particular mission and they want to make sure that it succeeds. So they've become personally involved. We got to see the importance of the olives being pressed. That's an olive press there. They talked about the olive press. Olives are pressed to make olive oil. They're pressed multiple times, and the first press gives the best oil. Then later on, it gets to be not as strong. I just want y'all to keep that in mind, the significance of the oil press, because that's going to come back later on. This is actually part of our theme for the trip. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. And I love how they quote Jesus. Down there it says Jesus. We went from here, and that was in Nazareth. We went from there to Mount Prespus. And I know many of you know the story about that that's where Jesus was taken after he proclaimed that he fulfilled the scriptures in the temple. The people of Nazareth didn't accept his announcement. They planned to push him off the top, and instead he simply passed through the group and went away. This peak is 1,300 feet in the air, and it's got an amazing view. It will take your breath away, but knowing that that's the place where so many went who weren't accepted or for whatever reason, it made it also a place to think. It could have been called the Mount of Contemplation, but that wasn't it. It says here, Mount of Prespus, rising above, and it gives meters, 397 meters. That's where we ended day four. Day five, we went to the Mount of Beatitudes, Tabgha, Capernaum, Kersey, and the Jordan River. When we got to the Mount of Beatitudes, when we got to the Mount of Beatitudes, it was a monastery that was there. This is where Jesus gave the Beatitudes to the disciples. The Church of the Beatitudes stands on the site. It's a Roman Catholic church. There is a monastery. After that, we went to Tagba. Y'all, this area, just kind of hanging out the Mount of Beatitudes real quick, this area was very important to many people. There was some highly emotional reactions to this particular sculpture. People of all ages were just in tears. And I didn't want to get anyone's face in the picture. So when that man turned around, I thought it was the perfect opportunity to just snap a shot, because it was really touching. We've got the fish and the loaves. I don't know if anyone can see the loaves over in the corner, the upper right on the pedestal. But that brings us... Oh, y'all, I took a picture of this because this is a pay toilet. I don't know if any of y'all knew that some of the toilets you have to pay to go in. I just, you know, sometimes people don't believe you unless you take a picture. Okay, moving to Tabgha. This was an area of baptism. They would get the water out of there to baptize. Okay, can y'all see the altar? If you look underneath that table, you can see something protruding from the floor. That is a rock. That area is actually open. It's roped off so we can't step too close. But that is the rock where they have all the evidence in the world they need. It's from the Bible. They've tested everything. That's the rock that they're saying Jesus actually sat on when he fed the 5,000, or during that time. So the thing is, people started to believe that that rock was blessed because that miracle happened there. So people began taking pieces, like chipping away pieces. That rock was so much bigger, and people were chipping away at it so they could have a little piece of that blessing. So what they did to protect it was build this church over it. So that's one of the things that's now being protected, so that everyone has the opportunity to see it and experience that. We, of course, like I said, take every opportunity to sing. Any church, synagogue, I mean, street corner, I don't know. It was everywhere. We would just take a second. If it wasn't but one song, we would sing, and we sang here. All these signs, you cannot bring any of that. You have to be careful what you wear, but you can bring your bicycle. We went to Capernaum. It was interesting how the guides explained this. They were very strong to correct us. Even though it says Capernaum everywhere, they were very adamant that it's actually Capernaum. And if you look it up, I actually Googled it because I want to see if it would pop up Capernaum, and it does. So I was like, okay, these guides were extremely intelligent. They knew exactly what they were talking about. But that Capernaum actually means Nahum's village. But Capernaum is what we know it as. This is a statue of St. Peter. Oh. And we are right there at the water, the Sea of Galilee. We're just on the other side. Where earlier the picture was from Tiberias, this is right there on the shore at Capernaum. We were able to go and see the ruins. If you see that, you can't really see it too well, but that structure in the back that looks kind of like a UFO, that's a church built over the ruins. They did it as an octagon shape, which has significance, and forgive me, I cannot remember exactly why, but the floor is glass in one part, so you can actually see the house that they have deemed Peter's house that's in Capernaum. But the guide was also strong to correct us, and that's not actually Peter's house, but they believe it to be his mother-in-law's house. Not his mother, but his mother-in-law. So I thought that was interesting, the things that they chose to stress. We went to Magdala. Y'all, the amount of ruins there that are from time periods from hundreds, even thousands of years ago just amaze me. It's against the law to build without first having kind of an excavation done. If they find anything, they put building off and find out exactly what they have in that area before building can continue, if it can continue. If the finding is significant enough, they halt building. This was a church there in Capernaum that we visited. It was the temple. We worshipped and sang here. You can't really see it, but of course you can see the boat. Behind it is water. They wanted people to believe that they were actually on the Sea of Galilee during the services. So there's water behind the boat. It's a complete glass wall. When we went down into the temple, which would have been closer to the time of Jesus, but not quite, y'all, this painting, and I know everyone probably knows exactly what that's portraying, but I just wanted to take that home. So I couldn't take it home because that's against the law. So I took a picture of the woman who had just the strength to reach through the crowd just because she thought if she could just touch his robe, if she could just get that close, that would be enough. And there are tons of people. Just, I mean, you can look out and see how crowded it is, and even with it being that crowded, and even with her just touching maybe even a thread on his robe, he knew exactly what had happened and that someone had touched him. And that picture just, I just love it. So I had to take a little piece of it, a copy of it home. Not a piece, I didn't break a piece off. I just want to be clear. We then went on to Kersey. Now, Kersey is where, and y'all cannot read that, I know, I'm sorry. Kersey is where Jesus performed the miracle of taking the demons out of the possessed man, putting them in the swine, who then ran off into the Sea of Galilee and drowned. This area, they still have stones here, structures that date back to the time of Jesus. So they date back 2,000 years, structure that's still partially standing. Nothing is completely standing in this area. That is a mosaic, an original mosaic. They have things like that, of course, roped off. But it's just amazing to see the intricate detail of all these things and to know how old it is and it's still there. We then moved from Kersey to the Jordan River. And this says, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son. With thee I am well pleased." We didn't get baptized in the river, but we got to experience the baptism of others, which I thought was, to me, it was just as touching, and I know other people were touched as well. Interesting thing about the Jordan River, I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't quite what I saw. And now the area that we went to isn't the area that Jesus was actually baptized. This is just the baptismal spot now. So I just want to make that clear. In some places that we passed, because to get to this spot, we passed over the Jordan River a few times. One time I looked out the bus window, and it was literally like a creek. It was very thin. And then it just opens back up. So it just wasn't quite what I was expecting. We had so many ladies, even though we didn't sign up for baptisms. I mean, you couldn't stop them. They went down there on those steps, and they just had to wet their feet. And I don't blame them one bit. That ended our fifth day. The next day, we got up, and it was our turn to go to the Nazareth Baptist School and walk Nazareth, and then later we did the Sea of Galilee as a group, all of us. I took a picture of this plant. A lady came up to me and said it's called the crown of thorns. I don't know if y'all can see it. There is no part of this plant that does not have a thorn other than the leaf and the bloom. Every part of the stem is covered in multiple thorns. We were lined up ready to go in to have our concert. This place was packed with kids. And I can't show that part to you because I was up on the stage area, and that would have been odd had I started taking pictures of the kids. But they were middle school age. So it was just like middle school here. I mean, they kind of come in, they're kind of smiling and kind of cutting up a little bit, and you know, here they are. They have to watch all these, you know, women from America sing songs in a language that they're somewhat familiar with, because they do have to learn English starting in the third grade. And these were middle school kids. But about the third song in, you saw that slowly start to change. And you could see them kind of lean forward. There wasn't as much talking amongst the group. And it was interesting being able to see that from our view, to be able to see exactly what was happening out there. This man that's speaking and the lady behind him is an American that has been at the school for a while. And the gentleman, he's always lived in Israel. But like I said, most of them speak perfect English. So he's explaining how small the percentage is for Christians in Israel. I think he said across the whole area of Israel, like 1.5%. So Christianity is a huge minority over there. But this is a Baptist school. This is Nazareth Baptist School. And the kids that come here are mostly Muslim and Jewish. But they're required, if they attend, because this is a very highly scored school. So if you want your kids to get a good education, you want them to go to this school. The kids are required. They cannot opt out for religious reasons. They have to go to chapel and Bible classes. So they take that at the school, they take that very seriously as a time that they can witness openly with these children who come from Muslim and Jewish backgrounds or are currently living as Muslim or Jewish with those beliefs. We further walked into Nazareth and we got to kind of look around and learn the city. Now, this was a very ornate synagogue that we went into. You could tell that it had a lot of European influence. And it's interesting hearing our guides talk about all the different eras that have occurred throughout the history of Israel. I know that there's a lot of woodwork. That's another thing. They said that things weren't made out of wood. Like in Jesus' time, you didn't have things made out of wood. You had things made out of stone, lava rock. You didn't. They just didn't use wood a lot. They didn't think to, not until there was a more European influence. The what you're looking at right now is a well. It is littered with coins, papers, notes, prayers. This is the well that Mary would have gone to get water for her family, and this is where the angel would have visited her for the first time. So a lot of people go there and try to ask for blessings or different things like that. Now, I'm happy to say that I know that I don't have to go anywhere to a specific place or to a specific person. I know I can always reach out to the Lord and He's there regardless of where I am. I saw this on the side of a wall. I took a picture of it. This is a thing that's been ongoing for a while over there. The feud between the Palestinians and the Israelis. We had to experience a little bit of that. Or not had to. It just kind of happened where we experienced a little bit of that feud while we were over there. Not directly. I want to make that clear. We asked our guide why there was so much trash. Y'all, there is discarded trash. Fence, cans, paper, plastic lawn chairs everywhere. And we asked, and he said, just in this country, or they claim Israel as a state, they aren't really that worried about cleanliness. Which fascinated me, because if I had something as beautiful as what they have, I would want to keep it clean. But that just wasn't their mindset. It just doesn't quite mean the same thing for them. Those are olives. We went into the synagogue church. It's a church actually called the synagogue church. It's like the church. This is actually a first century synagogue in Nazareth. They believe it based on its location and what the Bible tells us. They believe it to be the one that Jesus actually preached in when he proclaimed that he fulfilled the scriptures, which amazes me. And once again, yes, I am one of those people that just reached over. I just had to touch the wall. But I do understand that there is no power in the building itself. But I thought that it was a very once-in-a-lifetime experience to be able to step into a structure that's still standing from 2,000 years ago. So that in itself was amazing. And the fact that Jesus himself could have actually walked through the door and stood there was an added plus. We, of course, sang there. Y'all can imagine. We went to the Sea of Galilee. We hopped on two boats, all of us. And we sang until we could not sing anymore. They lifted that American flag up. And everybody just went crazy. We sang the national anthem. Y'all, these guys were so cool. Experiencing sunset on a boat on the Sea of Galilee was breathtaking. We left Tiberias. And when I say we left, it was like leaving one part of the world for another. I didn't realize that northern Israel was going to be so different from southern Israel until we got down there. So we're going through the West Bank, which is mostly desert, coming from the green, lush area that's around the Sea of Galilee. We went into Jericho. We got to see the ruins there. And Jericho, Jericho, of course, is where the wall fell down. They have found lots of things there, but they have not found pieces of the wall. Jericho is the oldest city of the world, is what they're saying. It's 10,000 years old. And they also say it's the lowest place because how far down it is from sea level. That is a Palestinian, I don't even know if it's a village. Those houses are made out of tin and just scrap pieces. The Palestinians were moved into the West Bank area. They're not part of Israel. We had to cross through many military checkpoints to get in and out. This is Jerusalem here. We came into Jerusalem. You notice the graffiti on the wall. I mean, it was just different. This is a Jewish cemetery that's over 3,000 years old. It holds over 150,000 graves. But I'm going to put a picture up front when I get finished. This was actually, as weird as it sounds, the best vantage point for us to go to for a group picture because of a courtyard area that they have there. We went down, once we got to Jerusalem, we went down into, and I didn't specify, those pictures were taken from the Mount of Olives. We went down into the Garden of Gethsemane. And I know that I mentioned the wine or the oil, the olive oil press. Gethsemane is another one of those things that they say it's not actually Gethsemane, it's Gethsemane, and I'm probably butchering that, but it means olive press. So when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray the night before his the night he was taken, he prayed multiple times that if it was not God's will, if there was any other way. And so there in the Garden of Gethsemane, which the name means olive press, he was pressed mentally. And he started sweating blood, which is just another semblance to me of an olive press, because from that olive you get oil. And that was just from the agony that he was experiencing just internally at the time, knowing what was to come. Because even though he was all God, he was all man as well. So the church, the Catholic Church of all nations was built over the rock of agony. So I don't know if y'all can see the picture, but it's Jesus pretty much praying on the rock. And underneath that altar, or in front of that altar, I have a better picture, yes, is the actual rock that occurred on. It blows my mind that they're able to know all of these things. But, I mean, everything can be tested. They read it from the Bible. But it says, "Oh, Jesus, in deepest night and agony, you spoke these words of trust and surrender to God the Father in Gethsemane. In love and gratitude, I want to say, in times of fear and distress, my Father, I do not understand you, but I trust you." Went to the garden tomb. There are as much testing as they're able to do. There are still two possible places for Golgotha. One of them we saw. We went in the tomb and we were able to have communion there. Now, this is one of the spots where they think could possibly be where Jesus' body was taken afterwards. We went into Old Jerusalem, upper room, pulled the Bethesda. I know I'm probably butchering this. Via Dolorosa, we walked that, and then we had an evening concert in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is in the West Bank, so it's in Palestinian areas. So we have to pass through military checkpoints any time we go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, and we did that frequently. Y'all, these bread stands, and there were fruit stands. There were stands for everything. They're not real big on different kinds of meat, but these things were everywhere. We got to visit the room of the Last Supper. So the upper room was something that we got to go in. Y'all, seeing people's reactions, just everyone has a different emotional reaction to the areas they went in, because some things just meant more to some people than others, but were all amazing in themselves. We went into the old city of Jerusalem, which is still surrounded by a wall, and you're walking with people of other faiths because everyone's headed there for different reasons. People work there. People worship there. There's just a lot of different reasons that people go. This was the Church of St. Anne. St. Anne is the mother of Mary. He's the mother of Christ. And this is a sculpture that, depending on the angle you looked at it, would tell you where St. Anne was looking. And it looked like any angle you went to, she was looking somewhere different. It was an interesting sculpture. The healing pools. There's a partial pool still there, but this would be the actual area where Jesus healed the sick man. The man that had been sick for, I believe it was 38 years, and was waiting on that angel, which is what they believed, to stir the water so that he could be healed if he was the first one in the pool, but he was never able to get in there because of his state. So Jesus healed him on the Sabbath, told him to pick up his mat and walk. And, of course, people not focusing on the great act that just occurred were more offended by when he chose to do that. Y'all, I went down in that hole. I just had to know where it went. It was a cistern that holds rainwater. But I took this picture afterwards. It says, "And Jesus said to the man who had been ill for 38 years, 'Rise, take your pallet, and walk.'" Jesus is all-powerful, omnipotent. He always has ways and means to help you. There's some of the military walking around. They were everywhere in that area because it's so close to the West Bank. This market area, when we were walking the Via Dolorosa, it was extremely crowded. These depictions on this wall, we've got the robe, they explained, was meant to be more of a purple. It looks reddish in the picture. We've got them trying to shield Mary, the mother of Jesus, from the wounds that he's inflicted before he carries the cross on. When we walked the Via Dolorosa, yeah, I don't know anyone who that was their favorite thing to do on the trip. It was an amazing experience because you got to actually walk, but it was so stressful. There were so many people, and you had to move with the flow of the crowd. And that our God explained to us, it was this crowded. This has always been a bustling city. So when Jesus took his cross and had to walk this area, that it would have been extremely crowded at that time. Now, of course, people would have tried to move, but I can't imagine that being an added stress to have everyone watching you and continue to be humiliated in that way. It was, I could understand it better having walked it, even though this is a more modern time, but it just breaks my heart more. This is the second area that they believe to be Golgotha. They've actually got a place that they've got marked off where they think is the actual place in the stone to where the cross was lowered. Get ready for our evening concert. People of different faiths were welcome, of course, at all of our concerts. That was the reason for going, but it was so hard to get people to accept an invitation. We we went into, it looked like the basement that we were going into of this church, and it was a very modern sanctuary with the lighting and everything, where we got to sing. This was in Bethlehem, and this was probably for our smallest crowd, but I could feel the Spirit working. Even though there weren't a lot of people that showed up for the concert, I could still feel it, y'all. I took a picture of this because there's graffiti on almost every square inch of all of this area. This is, once again, in the West Bank area. Jerusalem Prayer Center, Shepherd's Field, evening concert. I'm almost done. If y'all bear with me just a few more minutes. The Jerusalem Prayer Center. If I have enough time, I'm going to read y'all an email. This is, there's a group that runs this. And the reason for it is to come and have individual time of prayer. It's not saying that you can only pray in the prayer center. They just have it specifically designed for those who maybe don't know that they can pray directly to God. That they don't have to go through any kind of channel. There were different stations. At the confession station, they explained that you can be forgiven for your sins. Y'all, I don't know if that's rice paper or what kind of paper it is, but you were to write your sins on the paper, and then you put it in the bowl and swish it with the sticks, and the paper would dissolve. And it was symbolic of how Jesus wipes our slate completely clean. We can give him our sin, and then it just disappears. It was just very symbolic things that I've never thought you could do to kind of show or explain that. There was intercession areas where you could, you know, pray for others. You could write things down. There were prayer books, experience books, written in all languages, where just people who have visited the center have written their experiences down. I went through and just took pictures of different areas. We spent a good bit of time in that prayer center, but y'all, I mean, it's crazy that some of the concerts we did had effects on people that actually visited the prayer centers after we left. This was a place in Bethlehem. There was a guy waiting outside, and none of us knew him, but he was, I don't know if he was a guide for another group, but he asked us if we were the Jubilaires, and we said that we were a small portion of them, and he said, if y'all are going in there to sing, we're coming too. And I thought that I don't know who he was, and I don't know where he heard us. I mean, we had flyers everywhere, but just to have someone that wanted to hear that music, wanted to hear, you know, praises to the Lord, I just thought it was amazing. This was, like I said, in Bethlehem, so they had beautiful artwork. We were at Shepherd's Field. This is where they believe the shepherds were visited by the angels. And I don't know if y'all noticed the picture on the wall. She's in a cave. They explained to us that the manger is actually not a wooden structure, because once again, they didn't build things out of wood in that time. But it was actually would have been a cave in the side of the mountain. That's where they put the sheep, where they could protect them. They would build a fire on the outside, and they would sleep outside to protect the sheep that were in the cave on the inside at night, and then bring them back out in the day. That was just one more thing I just didn't know about. So we, of course, had to go exploring some of the caves that weren't marked off. This particular evening concert was one where we had the most response. We brought some of the coats. That mission for the children's coats, we brought backpacks and coats, y'all. It broke my heart. We ran out of backpacks. There were children crying. It was sad. We brought, I think, 100 kids' backpacks. That's how many people were there. Most of them were Muslim, if I remember right. There were 25 adult professions of faith while we were there. I don't know how many have occurred since we've left, but we're only called to plant seeds and then let God do the rest. And it was just amazing to be able to experience just a piece of that. We went to the Wailing Wall. We could go to the wall if we wanted to, but we were also given cards where we were supposed to invite people to our concert later on. So I opted to go hand out cards instead of visiting the wall. We got so much rejection. I mean, one of the things our guides told us while we were over there is there's going to be a lot of street vendors that try to sell you things, and if you make eye contact, they're gonna pull you in. They're going to reel you in. That's just, they're good. That's what they do. It was like I was a street vendor. Everybody was like trying not to make eye contact, so I would not talk to them. But those few that did, I felt like a street vendor again. I would go right over there and just let that open up for an opportunity. And I just tried my best. And it was interesting hearing what some of their excuses were, but it was also interesting and so uplifting for the ones that actually took the cards. I only had 3 cards, by the way. That was it. 3 cards. It took me so long to give away 3 cards. We went to the steps of the temple. We sang and had a service. This whole trip was like a 10-day revival on top of a mission trip, on top of a singing tour. It was just everything all in one. They had this little device where if you look through it just right, you could see like what it would have been like then for people to just walk up those steps and go into the temple, because that area is completely walled off. There is no entrance, but the steps are still there. That's the Kidron Valley. So that's where Judas would have taken his final breaths. We went to the Baptist house. This happened later on. So this was the morning service. So we had been up for a good while. And that's what happened most days. It was, we were able to crash and get maybe 5 hours of sleep and then get up and go again. When we got there, I thought it was really interesting that the pastor mentioned that there was a bomb shelter. So if there was any issues, we would go downstairs to the bomb shelter. I was like, well, that's nice. I mean, I don't know why he was sharing, but that's good to know. And then later on, some people were looking online and realized that there had been 10 missiles shot over from the Palestinian area into southern Israel, close to where we were. So I guess then it made more sense why he said what he said. Of course, 8 were shot down. So, and no, I don't think anyone was hurt in that particular attack. But just made things a little bit more real. We went to the YMCA. This was our final concert. The final concert that we had while we were in Israel, and it says, here is a place whose atmosphere is peace, where political and religious jealousies can be forgotten and international unity be fostered and developed. So you've got that, but then if you look, you can't really see it. Underneath the YMCA, it says, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So I just loved it. It's actually on the wall to the right underneath the sun, the letters YMCA. They had a beautiful theater room that we were able to sing in. There were people that came to these concerts more than once. I could see some of the ladies. The lights were bright, so from the stage you can't see everything. But in passing, while so many people came while we were rehearsing. And it was so neat to see these people singing along. It's like, I don't know how they even knew some of the songs already, but they were singing along, and it was just amazing. I couldn't stop smiling. I was like cheesing the entire time we were there. Then here we come back. We had to say bye to Israel. So we're on the plane back. There we are. I know it's already 12:30, so I'm just going to give y'all a quick synopsis of that email that they sent. A lady from the prayer center actually reached out to our group and said, y'all don't realize this, but there's a Muslim girl. Is it a Muslim girl? Or maybe she's atheist. Okay, because I'm probably going to get it all. Our AC's breaking. I thought it was just me. Okay, let's see. So Sorry, I was trying to time this and get it down in less. Okay. Oh, yeah, I was way off. Okay, so a German 22-year-old girl arrived in Israel 2 weeks ago. This is an email to us. To be a student at Hebrew University. This trip was her first time to travel, her first time on a plane. It was a massive transition. Emma was ready to pack it in and go home, but she went to our concert on Friday, and her heart soared. It really lifted her spirits and made her have hope. So when Emma went to the Sunday concert too, she was just amazed and inspired by the large group of women singing together. She plays brass in a traditional Bavarian band, but had never experienced a large group of voices. So they said the music just hit its mark with her. One of the singers went and spoke with her after the concert, and because of that conversation, she came to the Jerusalem Prayer Center. And so then they asked, they said, so we have a prayer request for y'all. Emma comes from a family of atheists, but has felt constantly pulled towards God. She is a mathematician and a physicist and searches hard for factual proof. She feels like God exists, but is so afraid and uncertain. She was very nervous about coming into the Jerusalem Prayer Center, but she came. She spent 2 hours in the prayer room and then shared her heart and her struggles. And they were able to pray together before they left. But so it was just to pray for her to surrender completely to the Lord and have confidence not only in the reality of his existence, but also the confidence and necessity of her salvation. So I thought, just stuff like that, we're going to probably keep hearing about all this. And then there's other things that we'll never know. We will just never truly know exactly what all happened over there. But I hope that y'all enjoyed your experience that you were able to have as you toured Israel just now. But I got a few things that I'm just going to lay out, just if y'all want to come by and see them, things that I got over there that are just a little neat. And that's what I've got. There's so many things that I didn't share. But oh, one more thing. Okay, just one. I heard somebody say it over there. Somebody was talking about how much the trip cost. And someone said, but it's not an expense. It was an investment. So
I thought it was like, yeah. Well, amen. As she spreads her stuff out here, I would encourage you guys to come check it out. I know it was a little over, but like I said, don't apologize, right? I mean, you know, I'm the kettle calling the pot black, right? But, you know, we've got a maid sitting here in our comfortable chairs and our air condition. And like I said before, we thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I felt like we just had an overview of the New Testament, right? And we definitely heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and his mission here on earth, for sure. And actually got to look at pictures. And I'm excited about what God's doing in the area of missions, too, as we're coming into the season of Christmas and those sort of things. This is our third year here, Lynn and I, and this year the Lord's really stirred my heart big time about Lottie Moon. We're going to try to do some special things to promote that as we get closer. I think it's the first week in December. We'll kick it off. And I really want to, this is just my prayer, I want us to double our offering in the Lottie Moon. If that's God's will, it is. If it's not, that's okay. I'll at least hit our goal, but I'd love to see us double our offering in the Lottie Moon Christmas. And then I really want to challenge Anita and Gary to really pray, and I know I'm putting on the spot here, to really pray for our church that we can all, whoever can, go on a missions trip maybe in the spring, summer, next year, sometime next year. Let's go on a missions trip as our church, and who can go, that'll be great. So would you guys pray about it, kind of where we can go, what we can do? Ask the Lord what he's doing, and let's go jump in the middle of what he's doing, whether it's here in America or whether it's in, you know, a foreign country, either one, you know. So I'd love for us to do that. Amen?
Amen.
So at this time, Tammy's going to come and Gary, and we've heard the gospel. God is bringing hope, not only in our area, but around the world. And so this hope is the hope of gospel. If you look up that word hope in that particular scripture, where God's bringing hope, it means eternal salvation. Actually, means confidence in eternal salvation. And that salvation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So believing in the death, burial, and resurrection. So if you've never made that decision this morning, and you feel like the Holy Spirit's drawing you unto salvation, as we call it, during the song of invitation, I would love to pray for you. And I'll be down here at the altar, and then we'll dismiss, and we'll come look at these cool things. But right now, if you need to get saved, and God's been moving in your heart about that, today is the day of salvation. Amen.